Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the June 11th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll start with the first page stories. Police Officers Unionize Hire Swim Instructor by David Porter. Tuscola police officers have opted to unionize through the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council. The Illinois Labor Relations Board certified the act on June 4th. Although no mention was made at Monday's City Council meeting, Drew Hole, City Administrator, wrote in his report to the council that the next step should be presentation of proposed collective bargaining terms and the negotiation of a contract. Swimming lessons will be returning to the Tuscola pool this summer. On Monday, Hole asked the city council to approve hiring Ella Maxfield. Hole said he would ask the council to officially approve the hiring at the next council meeting since he received the information about her too late for this week's agenda. In other pool-related news, Hole said a fairly catastrophic crack was found on the slide at the pool. Replacement parts are available, but will take 8 to 10 weeks for delivery. Also Monday, the council approved a bid of $11,000 from Alco Overhead Doors to replace the garage door at the community building. Council also approved its periodical review of executive session minutes and voted to destroy audio recordings as allowed by state law. Demolition of the old Pettit Place on South Court Street was tabled. Hole said he was still sorting out the bids. One of the four bids was more than $100,000 lower than the next lowest bid for asbestos removal and demolition. I'm in the process of trying to get information from the apparent low bidder, Hole said in his written report. Although there is obvious potential for concern, it is possible that his bid is appropriate and acceptable, but I need some additional time to review that. The low bid was $37,700. Three other bids range from $139,000 to $189,000. The city's budget is $175,000. Also deferred was a vote on 1% grocery tax. The state collects a tax for municipalities, but it's ending the state program on January 1, 2026, but will allow cities to implement their own 1% grocery tax. Hole explained that nothing will change as the state will still collect the tax and pass it to the city. Treasurer Alta Long said it amounts to about $95,000 a year. Several on the council and staff suggested that the state's change is merely political. Mayor Dan Kleiss said it was part of the governor's plan to lower taxes, so we get to say we raised the tax. It really wasn't his to lower. Hole said it allows the state to say, well, we're not doing it. He said the issue would be on the agenda for the next council meeting. Arcola and Newman have already approved the measure. Hole said he's not aware of any municipality that is not reinstating the grocery tax. Long commented that at least the state can't take a bigger share like they do on other shared revenue. She added that the grocery tax is shared with out-of-town shoppers a little bit as opposed to property tax, which would affect only Tuscola property owners. The council also approved a request from Positive Vibes Dog Daycare Downtown to reserve two parking spots in front of their business for their grand opening on July 12th. In the consent agenda, the council approved street closures associated with Sparks in the Park events as well as parade and race routes. They also approved the Run for Nash route for October 25th in a farmer artisan market downtown on the 2nd and 4th Wednesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. They also gave a nod for Emma Carter to set up a vendor stand at the festival corner on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mayor Kleiss noted that she has set up there before and creates kind of an interesting stuff out of yarn. Hole also announced that prep work on the master meter station has been completed and he expects the new station to be installed next week. In Hole's written report, he said that he has issued a request for proposals for trash pickup. The current garbage and recycling agreement ends October 31st. Proposals are due July 10th, and he said he hopes the council will award a contract July 14th, which will allow for more than 90 days for a transition between vendors if necessary. Hole also said design work is done off the Park Washington and North Central Streets repaving project, and it has been submitted to the Illinois Department of Transportation for review. He said environmental clearance is expected to take a while, but he hopes the project can be in the next couple of months. The next article, Newman City Council. Newman Council adds Pollock to the table by Ben Crane. The Newman City Council appointed Jared Pollock as alderman for Ward 2 at their June meeting Monday night. He will serve a two-year term on the council. Resident Shelby Grywachewski also spoke to the council regarding a citation he received on March 14th for birding during a no-burn day. I think I can spend $120 better than the government can, he said. The council discussed the weather conditions of the day while weighing out whether or not the citation could be voided. An ordinance is an ordinance, said Councilman Wade Hales. Police Chief Dixie Brazelton agreed with Grabchowski to void the citation after discussion. An update on the Chapin Rose grant was given by Mayor Dennis Kibler, who said that the city had received $75,000 and may have the paperwork for the contract after July 1st. In the Street and Alley report, a typo on a sidewalk repair bid from Barry Contracting resulted in the work not being started. $1,200 bid approved by the council was supposed to be $12,000. The council decided to see if other bidders would honor their bid, amounting to $3,000. If not, the project will go out to bids again. Kenzie Hales was also hired to mow this summer, and a bid of $29,000 for oil and chipping in numerous areas around the town was approved. Finally, the city is continuing to get ready for the Freedom Festival this weekend. In the waterworks report, the manganese and iron levels are down, where the system will need to be flushed again to get rid of discoloration. Finally, the Community Center Committee recommended that the council approve $18.50 per hour rate and 5 hours a week for the building's janitor. The next article, Arthur Village Board. Village Board discusses public safety issues by Ariana Cherry. Now that the warmer weather is here, residents of Arthur have been spending more time outdoors, and with that comes a season of driving golf carts, scooters, and of course our favorite chore, mowing the lawn. However, resident safety was a concern at the June 2nd board meeting when a trustee noted that he'd seen a passenger in a golf cart holding an infant while it was on the move. Residents are encouraged to be aware of the rules for those driving their golf carts each new season. Passengers must be seated and wearing a seatbelt. Golf carts must be insured and have an updated permit. Drivers must be over 21 and possess a driver's license. Residents can help keep the village safe by reporting violations by calling 911 or reporting them to the police station. The current golf ordinance can be found online at the arthurillinois.gov golf cart ordinance. People riding on scooters are beginning to get a bit dangerous. Some of them have been riding down the middle of the street, Trustee Mike Hilgenberg stated. Chief Elliot Tinnan explained that scooters needed to be treated as bicycles until noted otherwise. While on the topic of safety and regulations, Trustee Christy Bernius pointed out rules of lawn mowing. It's mowing season and people are mowing their grass and it's going out into the streets. Please don't allow the grass to go into the street when you're mowing, she said. Mayor Village President Ron Randall said they would print reminders on the water bills again. Other items discussed and voted on. Treasurer Mike Hilgenberg reported expenses of $27,000. Public Works Director Grant Corum stated he had repaired 25 dead meters and was the highest number they had had in a month. Parking spaces in the parade route were approved for Saturday, June 28th during the Freedom Celebration Parade that will start at 2 p.m. Approved to remove inactive part-time officer Dalton Donalls from the City of Arthur Police Department roster. The next article, Douglas County. Committee reviews solar proposal by Ben Crane. The Douglas County Board's Plat and Planning Subcommittee met Friday morning to review a letter from Pivot Energy and introduce a draft solar ordinance that could shape future renewable energy development in the county. The letter outlined two proposed sites totaling up to 60 acres for potential solar farm construction. One of the parcels lies north of County Road 1550 North, about half a mile east of U.S. Route 45 along the Douglas-Champaign County line. County Engineer Jim Crane expressed concern about the timing of Pivot's letter, noting that a building application was submitted by Pivot, but the county defined a building as four walls and a roof in its ordinance. I will not entertain a proposal that's not covered by our ordinance, Crane said, who is also a building permit administrator and the floodplain administrator. My license could be affected. He also emphasized the need for a road use agreement to be in place before the county entertains any formal proposals. Crane stressed that such agreements are necessary to protect infrastructure from potential damage during construction. These roads weren't designed and built to withstand an 80,000-pound truck, he said. Even if the impact is less than a wind farm, it's still significant. The committee also introduced a draft version of the county's first solar ordinance. However, the document was lengthy, and no committee member had yet had the opportunity to fully review its contents before the meeting. Buzz Becker, a representative from Pivot Energy, said he had read portions of the draft and voiced several preliminary concerns. Chief among them was the proposed fees and the road use agreement, both of which he compared to other counties' policies. He also questioned the necessity of an annual training clause, suggesting that a 5-year interval be more appropriate. It's an added cost for everybody, Becker said. I think every 5 years would suffice. Becker also raised concern about the requirement for a wildlife and aviary study, even though he said he didn't expect any major environmental red flags at the county line site. Additionally, he flagged the ordinance's proposed decommissioning costs as another potential hurdle. Despite his concern, Becker acknowledged that the draft included several promising components. He pointed to provisions such as construction noise study, traffic use study, and safety measures addressing sight lines at road intersections near the project area. Nick Sandiford, an attorney for Pivot Energy, attended the meeting via Zoom. Like others, he had not yet reviewed the full ordinance, but called it a good start. The committee is expected to continue reviewing the ordinance and gather feedback in the weeks ahead. The next first page story, Coffee Brings Fresh Energy Curiosity to Douglas County Museum by Ben Crane. At just 21, Daphne Coffee is stepping into her dream job as the new director of the Douglas County Museum. A recent graduate of Indiana State University, Coffee brings an academic background in anthropology, museum studies, and French, and a deepening affection for the community she's now calling home. I actually grew up in the Mooresville area, kind of Indianapolis area, Coffee said. I'm from Indy, but I went to school in Mooresville, so that's where all of my friends and family kind of have their ties. She graduated this past month from Indiana State in Terre Haute with a Bachelor in Science in Anthropology and minors in French and Museum Studies. Her path to the museum began through a pair of personal connections. I actually had a really good friend who lives in Arcola, and he saw the position in passing and just recommended it to me, she said. And then I actually have another friend who I go to school with, and she's from Tuscola. She mentioned the position in passing, so I figured two people both mentioned this, and I've always wanted to work in a museum, so I just went for it. The first days on the job, she admits, were a mixture of excitement and pressure. It was definitely overwhelming at the beginning, but exciting, Coffee said. It's something I've always dreamed of doing. I've grown up going to museums, so this kind of felt like it was meant to be, but definitely, I felt a little overwhelmed, like, oh man, I've got big shoes to fill. Her first thought after being hired, oh yeah, I have to learn that. I have to learn all the history that these people have grown up learning all at once. So she turned to what she knows best, asking questions. I would just start asking questions of people that I knew from here already, she said. Tell me your stories of growing up. What are the fun facts about the county? And, you know, I would start going to Google and I'd start reading articles and Reddit threads. Reddit's an interesting place for me to find. But that's where I was like, oh, good, here, there are restaurants to eat. Here's what everybody thinks about those new places. Her research, both digital and personal, led to a deeper connection with the area. I really started to learn a lot of history from the people, and then I started getting more connections through the friends that I already knew that allowed me to just start learning more history, she said. And I think I'm falling in love with this county. As she settles in, Coffee said she plans to honor the work of her predecessor, Anna Dvorak, while introducing new exhibits and features to engage visitors. I definitely plan to follow a lot of what she has already implemented, she said. She's left so much room to begin building new exhibits, and she's done so much organization in the back. I plan to further that so our collection will eventually start to look nice, and we could maybe do behind-the-scenes tours for people, especially our members. One idea already in motion is the launch of rotating exhibits. We're hoping for one or two every 4 to 6 months, she said. I love what she's done with the Richmond exhibit, and kind of hoping to do some similar exhibits like that, but ones we can take down and really change out a lot. I've been talking with our board a lot. We're hoping to really make children's area as well. Her favorite discovery so far? This is my favorite fun fact that I've learned about Douglas County, she said. It's the flattest county. It's like my favorite fact to share with people, especially like my family and friends who are also from the Indy area. And they'll ask me about the county, and I'll say, well, let me tell you this. It was such fun county. It's so flat. I'm like, I love to share that you can, you know, basically see forever. Though new to the job, Coffee brings some museum experience, having completed collection internships last fall in Terre Haute. I work with them on their collections, and that's the only experience that I've gotten behind the scenes, really, she said. And that was only the collection. I didn't get any of the other experience, so a lot of this is still very, very new to me. Still, she's fully embracing her new role in the community. I love the chance, the opportunity to be the person that person for everyone, Coffee said, and the opportunity to also be that person to continue to bring the communities together around the county. Coffee oversaw her first major event as director during the recent museum open house. We got about 60 to 65 visitors, at least that's what I saw in the paper, she said. We might have had more that passed our book. I think it went really well because we had a lot of volunteers, so they're able to really guide people through. She said the experience was educational. I think maybe it would have been better if we'd had a guide or a good way of to really move people through, she said. But I was getting feedback from some of the visitors, which was also nice, just kind of telling us, yeah, this is how you should really structure it so that nobody gets blocked. And it's not like bottlenecking in any one area. She now plans to implement several changes moving forward. I learned a lot from this event, she said. We want to do some different sign-in operation options, but I think I'm going to start sending feedback forms out to people as well, like, hey, what would you like to see? Because I'm seeing that it is so important to get the visitors' feedback and truly understand how to make these events better. Preserving local memory, Coffee added, is at the heart of her mission. Even when we were setting up for this event, I didn't realize how many schools have disappeared and shut down in the county and new ones that have popped up, she said. That's why we're here, to show people just because the people have passed and are passing each day, we're still here to preserve that history. She concluded, that's why I pushed so hard to get memberships and everything. You know, every dollar that you donate and put toward helping us allows us to share this history that maybe even not now you've gotten to see every day. We'll move now to the obituaries. John W. Wycombe, 71, passed away on Saturday, May 31, 2025, at his home in Atwood. Massive Christian burial was held Friday, June 6, at St. John Baptist Church in Arcola. Burial was in the Arcola Cemetery. Visitation was also Friday at St. John's. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Jean L. Huffman, 71, of Hammond, passed away at 5:02 a.m. on Sunday, June 8, 2025, at the Loft in Decatur. In accordance to Jean's wishes, no services will be held. McMullen Young Funeral Home is taking care of arrangements. Daniel Bruce Crossman, 69, of Atuscola, passed away Friday, June 26, 2025, at the Arthur Home. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, June 11th, at the Tuscola Township Cemetery. The Edwards Funeral Home, 221 East Main Street in Arcola, is assisting with arrangements. Vita Jean Murray, 82, of Tuscola, passed away at 11:06 a.m. Wednesday, May 21, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana, surrounded by her family members and friends. Celebration of life services will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, June 14th, at the Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home, 705 South Main Street, Tuscola. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service at the funeral home. Terrell Thomas, 84, of Scottsdale, Arizona, passed away peacefully with family beside him on May 14, 2025, after a long challenge with cancer. Celebration of life will be held at Valley Presbyterian Church at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, June 17th. Service arrangements are in care of the Messenger Mortuary, Scottsdale, Arizona. The next article, Ag in the Classroom Activity Report. Agriculture or farming is the science of cultivating soil, producing crops, and raising livestock. It's the nation's largest industry, employing approximately 23 million people in over 250 career areas. However, less than 1% of the population considers farming their occupation. The remaining agricultural jobs can be segmented into several areas: plant sciences, animal sciences, agricultural mechanics, agricultural business, environmental sciences, food science, and natural resources. Agriculture is part of everyone's everyday life, from the cotton in our sheets, clothes, towels, and soap with lanolin, toothpaste with mint, plus all the foods we eat. Agriculture offers a wide range of opportunities, providing support for those who produce our food and fiber. In Illinois, it's one of the top-ranking states in meat packing, soybean processing, dairy manufacturing, feed milling, and corn processing. There are careers in agriculture for all education levels and interest. Younger students make a backpack charm. Older students did a chromatography experiment. Doug County Ag in the Classroom is supported by the Douglas County Farm Bureau, Douglas County Ag Center, and Illinois Ag in the Classroom. Next article, Arcola School District plans to destroy old files. How to get yours? Arcola Junior Senior High School has set October 1st, 2025 as the destruction date for the temporary records of students from the class of 2020. Students who would like to view their temporary records should contact Arcola Junior Senior High School office. Temporary records include any information that is not part of the permanent record. According to the Illinois Administrative Code, temporary records may be destroyed 5 years after a student withdraws, graduates, or otherwise leaves school. Permanent records, however, must be maintained for a minimum of 60 years from the date that the student withdraws, graduates, or otherwise leaves the school. Permanent records include a student's identifying information, transcript, attendance records, health records, records of release information, and state-required assessments from high school. Pursuant to the Illinois School Student Records Act, Arcola Community School 306 School District Special Services Office hereby notifies all students who have graduated or dropped from the school before May 2020 that their temporary student files will be destroyed on or after October 1st, 2025. Please note that temporary student files contain information that may be of continued assistance to students, such as psychological evaluation and other special education files. Your permanent files are retained permanently and are available if needed through the Arcola Community Unit 306 High School office. If you wish a copy of your temporary student file, please contact Randy Vandeveer, records custodian at the Arcola Community Unit 306 School District High School office, 351 West Washington, Arcola. The next article, Arthur American Legion Auxiliary holds May meeting, makes plans for Flag Day. The monthly meeting of the Arthur American Legion Auxiliary Unit 479 was held in Arthur Methodist Church on Tuesday, May 20th, 2025 at 6 p.m. President Linda Perrine called the meeting to order with three raps of the gavel. Chaplain Arlone Doan led us in an opening prayer, and we remained standing in honor of our dead. We recited the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag and repeated the preamble to the Constitution of the American Legion Auxiliary. Roll call of officers was given. There were four officers and four members at large, making a total of eight present. Minutes of the previous meeting were read and approved. We had a short business meeting. We will sell poppies on Saturday, May 24th from 8 a.m. to noon at Max's Vine Street, Yoder's, Oye's Hardware, and buckets of other businesses. Jake Albert will be added to our list of veterans at Eberhard Village Arthur Home. Memorial Day service will be at 11 a.m. Monday, May 26th at the Arthur Cemetery. Anita Krutzinger and Linda Perrine will put the new red, white, and blue auxiliary wreath on the Veterans Monument. Gay will take gift bags to the Girl State attendees, poster board, highlighters, etc. to make running for officers posters if needed. We'll put flags out on Vine Street, Eberhard Village, and our high school on Friday, June 13th, as Flag Day is Saturday, June 14th. That concluded our business meeting. Let service to the community, state, and nation be ever a main objective of the American Legion Auxiliary and its members. President Linda Perrine adjourned the meeting with one rap of the gavel. The next meeting will be Tuesday, June 17th at 6 p.m. Next article, Arthur Bazaar, June 21st at Auto Center. Arthur's third Saturday Bazaar will be opening on Saturday, June 21st for shopping with over 50 vendors. A wide variety of handcrafted items as well as direct sales will be there. Just a sampling of items will be clothing, jewelry, terrariums, sweet treats, soaps, home decor, tumblers, resin, embroidered towels and aprons, rugs, household plants, and freeze-dried foods for starters. Come and experience the down-home feeling that the bazaar is known for. Parking and admission is free. It is at the Auto Center, 2058 County Road, 1800 East, Arthur. The doors are open from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Dawn Versi is the hostess. You can contact her at 309-253-6249. The schedule for 2025 is July 13th, October 18th, November 15th, and December 20th. The next article, Arthur gearing up for annual fireworks. The official 2025 Arthur Firework t-shirts are available for purchase at Arthur and Kirby Foods, Dick's Pharmacy, and Yoder's Kitchen. Sizes are available from youth small up to adult 3X. This year's fireworks will be held on the evening of Saturday, June 28th in Jerkins Park Fairgrounds. All proceeds from the shirt sales will be donated to the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, CVMA. The CVMA is an association of combat veterans from all branches of the United States Armed Forces who ride motorcycles as a hobby. It is their mission to support and defend those who have defended our country and our freedoms. Their focus is to help veteran care facilities provide a warm meal, shelter, clothing, and guidance, or simply to say thank you and welcome home. Priority seating wristbands for Arthur Fireworks go on sale June 2nd. The Arthur Rotary Club said it is excited to be hosting the 2025th edition of the Freedom Celebration Fireworks on June 20th. They hope that you're looking forward to it too. Once again, they're selling priority seating wristbands in advance of the celebration. Priority seating is in Jurgens Park, starting along the lane south of the pool house toward the T-ball diamond on the gravel lot south of the main diamond and in the fenced area on the north side of the football field. Wristbands are available for adults and school-aged children. Seating within the main diamond, ball diamond, and other areas in Jurgens Park is still free. Skip the lines and much of the crowd by sitting in priority. Wristbands go on sale on Monday, June 2nd at First Neighbor Bank, Oye's Hardware, and People's Bank and Trust, all in Arthur. Money from wristband sales allows the Arthur Rotary Club to provide scholarships, support our schools, and help other local organizations that serve our community. Donations toward the fireworks display are always welcome and can be made at the State Bank of Arthur. Another article, Arthur Atwood Lions Club plans tractor truck pull for August 1st. The Arthur Atwood Lions Club is partnering with the Moultrie Douglas County Fair to present a tractor and truck pulling on Friday, August 1st at 6 p.m. in Arthur. The dates for the fair have moved to July 24th to August 2nd. The fair board agreed to partner with the Lions Club to present the tractor truck pull during the 2025 fair. The event will feature six ITPA classes and two local truck classes. The ITPA classes are Pro Stock, Light Modified, 6850 Pro Farm, Classic 9500, Limited Pro Stock, and 11000 Pro Farm. The truck pull is a local pull and will be held after the conclusion of the ITPA pull. New this year will be two Bragging Rights truck classes. Immediately following the ITPA pull, local drivers will take the track with four-wheel drive gas and four-wheel drive diesel trucks. To participate, drivers must be residents of either Coles or Douglas or Moultrie counties or CUSD No. 305 school district. The vehicles must be licensed and street legal. Special VIP seating will be available this year for purchase on the north side of the track. Individuals will be able to purchase spots for pickup trucks and trailers that will make it a fun night. The pull is a fundraiser for the Arthur Atwood Lions Club. Funds raised from the pull remain in our local community and are used to help those with diabetes and vision issues, plus scholarships, youth organizations, Arthur Christian FFA, ALAH FFA will also benefit. Lions International is made up of 14 million members at 49,000 clubs around the world. Volunteers and partners improve health and well-being, strengthen communities, and support those in need through humanitarian service and grants that impact lives globally and encourage peace and international understanding. And we fulfill it every day, everywhere we serve, the club said. For information regarding the pull, call Jim Fleming, 217-791-1026. The next article, Farm Credit Illinois returns $35 million to its members. More than 8,100 local farm families received their share of $35 million cash patronage distribution this year from their Farm Credit Illinois FCI lending cooperative. Patronage tangibly honors our member borrowers, said Kelly Kent, FCI CEO. Giving patronage back to our farmers and local landowner members is a prime example of the value cooperative membership provides and demonstrates FCI's mission of helping farm families succeed. This is FCI's seventh consecutive annual patronage distribution, totaling $241 million, declared since 2018. FCI's board of directors declared $35 million distribution after receiving a 2024 financial information, anticipating the business climate for the coming year, capitalizing strong marketplace growth, and retaining adequate capital to meet regulatory requirements and weather potential farm economy volatility. Patronage is distributed proportionally to member borrower based on the net interest margin contributions of each loan and returns a portion of the interest accrued during the previous year. The board prioritizes delivering competitive upfront interest rates and managing the cooperative's capital prudently while still having an annual patronage distribution. The article, Chronicle wins state newspaper awards. The County Chronicle picked up 8 awards last week at the Illinois Press Association's annual convention, including 2 first place awards for newspaper design and photo services. The awards listing and judges' comments follow. Newspaper design, first place, the County Chronicle Tuscola, David Porter. Great variety of topics with engaging visuals. I can tell this is a huge undertaking, and the results are eye-catching and a pleasure to read. Good job. Photo series, first place, the County Chronicle Tuscola. Staff, Katie Crumble. This is how you tell a story. Great mix of new and old, the people at the heart of the company and the building, which is its own personality. A lovely presentation that is making want to plan a vacation solely to visit here. Sports column, second place, the County Chronicle Tuscola, Ben Crane. Sideline scoop, the variety of topics covered in your column keep me interested. I like that you spoke from personal experience and you addressed an issue plaguing high school sports in many states and that you relayed an interesting story about the galloping ghost. Sports section, third place, the County Chronicle Tuscola staff. County Chronicle, well-organized, great use of photo and text, good use of game stories with stories across various sports. Original column, third place, the County Chronicle Tuscola, Tony Hooker, hook, line, and sinker. One of the better personal experience columns represented here. Robert M. Cole Award for Best School Board Coverage, third place, the County Chronicle Tuscola, David Porter, Arcola School Board. Thorough coverage of board meetings and community input. And that is all the time we have for this week. This is Chris Yerkes saying goodbye and see you again next week.